Christmas season celebration, we pause and we take a moment to say goodbye to the calendar year 2019. New Year's Eve, in one respect, is a very secular day and a secular holiday. It has a lot of history and tradition with regard to the name of Jesus, the circumcision of Jesus. But tonight we'll be looking at the readings for New Year's Eve, which help us to say goodbye to 2019 and say hello to God's plans for us for the future. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening. Our opening hymn, very Christmassy, Joy to the World, 387. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, Setting 3. It's on page 184 and following. Have a worship insert for this evening. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Special focus on our epistle reading for this evening from Romans 8. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we come before you on this New Year's Eve, and our hearts and our minds are flooded with many thoughts, many memories, hopes, fears, joys, sorrows with regard to things in our past, and also fear, joy, excitement, trepidation with regard to what the future might hold. Heavenly Father, tonight, fix our eyes, our hearts, and our faith on Jesus. He is our rock and our anchor. He is the one that gives us true peace and joy on any day of the year, but especially on this day when we think of things past and also have an eye toward the future. Bless us and help us to know that every day is a day of peace and joy and celebration in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen for us and for the life of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 387.
Thank you.
184. Please stand as you're able. Page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit.
Our help is in the name of the
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we commit to your mercy and forgiveness the year now ending, and commend to your blessing and love the times yet to come. In the new year, abide among us with your Holy Spirit, that we may always trust in the saving name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for New Year's Eve is from Isaiah chapter 30. And now, go. Write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, "Do not see," and to the prophets, "Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy illusions. Leave the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel." Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, "Because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore, this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the hearth or to dip up water out of the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling, and you said, 'No, we will flee upon horses.' Therefore you shall flee away, and we will ride upon swift steeds. Therefore your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, and at the threat of five you shall flee, till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual as it's printed on your insert.
Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch, or in the third, and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed on page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, number 899, Across the Sky, the Shades of Night, number 899.
Oh,
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Text for our meditation this evening, the words of our epistle reading, Romans 8, 31 through 39. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Who is it to condemn? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So far our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, New Year's Eve, kind of a unique celebration, not only in America, but throughout the world. New Year's Eve. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? New Year's Eve. We think about the things in the past, especially those things that we didn't like or we're not very proud of, and we put them behind us, and we all resolve to do better in the future. We make our New Year's resolutions, and for a few hours or a few days, or if you're lucky, maybe even a few weeks, you can make some changes, some meaningful changes in your life. But we all know they don't last. Sometimes they produce an even worse result than before we started. New Year's Eve is one of those days that if we think about it from a theological perspective, New Year's Eve is one of the most law-filled, guilt-ridden days in the entire year. I want you to think about that. New Year's Eve, we meditate on the past, we look forward to the future, and what are we trained to do on New Year's Eve? We are trained to think about all of the things that we have failed at. We are trained to think about all of the things that we have fallen short of accomplishing. We are trained on New Year's Eve to say, at least to ourselves, if not publicly, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not nice enough. I'm not young enough. I'm not healthy enough. I'm not what I could be. I'm not what I should be. I'm not what I want to be. And if I just dig down deep inside of my soul and try really, really, really hard, then maybe I can do better in the coming year. Well, let me just ask you a simple question. How has that worked for you to this point? My friends, New Year's Eve is a great day for us to reflect on the past. New Year's Eve is a great day for us to look forward to in the future. But there is one key phrase that God lays before you tonight, and He lays before you each and every day of your baptized Christian life. And that phrase is, in Christ. In Christ. I want you to think about those two little words. In Christ. As we say goodbye to one year and say hello to a new year. The Word of God that is before us tonight is really the conclusion of what some people would call the greatest, most comforting chapter in the entire Bible. Romans 8. If Romans 8 is not your friend, I commend it to you. Unless you've never had any problems, you've never had any doubts, you've never had any worries, you've never had any shortcomings. In fact, if you don't sin, you don't need Romans 8. But for all of us who are bold enough to stand before the altar of God, as we did just a few moments ago, and say, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, or as we did a week ago on Sunday morning, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you can make that confession, if you can be that honest, then these words are yours and these words are words of great comfort. When we think about things in the past, the things that often come to mind are not those successes, are not those wonderful things, those great memories that we would like to cherish. When we think about the past, what often comes up are those things that haunt us, our guilt, our shame, our sin, our shortcoming. We think to the future, and we think of all the bad things that could happen. And so this New Year's Eve precipice is a terrible, frightening, lonely time. God has a word for us tonight. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? It's a rhetorical question. If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's make it more personal. If God is for you, who can be against you? Well, if I think to the past, boy, there's a lot of things that are against me. A lot of things that have been against me in the past, and a lot of things that will probably be against me in the future. God says, wait, stop, time out. All of these things that haunt and produce guilt and shame, all of these things that bring worry and fear for the future, all of these things have been defeated in Christ Jesus. So, if God is for you, who can be against you? The next logical question must be, is God really for me? How can I be sure that God is really for me? Christ Jesus is the one who died, Paul goes on to write. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. The proof of God's love for you. The proof that God will never leave you nor forsake you is in the bloody death and glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. For the whole world, of course. For you. That's right. For you. If this God, who has proven his love for you in Jesus Christ, is really on your side, is really for you, it doesn't matter who is against you. That's God's word for you tonight. All of those things that have attacked and plagued you in the past, all of those things that have attacked and plagued you currently, all those things that potentially will attack and plague you in the future, they are all defeated in Christ Jesus. We come into God's house at the end of the year, And we may think that God is some giant scorekeeper in the sky. And as we think over our past year or our past years, we may think that we've got more bad on the scale than we have good. Well, we probably do. My friends, this marvelous chapter of Scripture, Romans chapter 8, starts out, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Those who are baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus. Those who listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. "My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven." Those who not only hear His word, but believe it. You, brothers and sisters in Christ. You, baptized children of God. You who hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. You who eat and drink Christ's body and blood. There is therefore now no condemnation for you as you are in Christ Jesus. Sweeter words, more freeing words have never been written, have never been spoken. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? People are attacking you or accusing you or condemning you. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? That's you. Who can bring any charge against you? Because God has already declared you forgiven, righteous, innocent, and free. All of the accusations of the world, all of the accusations of Satan, all of the accusations of that old Adam or Eve that live inside of you, they are all defeated in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who is to condemn if God, the Holy One, who created heaven and earth, who called you into existence, if God is the one who declares you right and holy and innocent, if God will not condemn you, then who else is there to condemn? Don't listen to the voices. Whether those voices are in your head or your heart condemning you, or the voices of others that try to condemn you, Christ Jesus has already declared you righteous. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's really what we're talking about, aren't we? We are in Christ Jesus, and yet we live in a world of separation. People are separated from each other because of their sin. People are separated from the ones they love because of death. People are at odds with one another and separated from each other because we just can't get along. We are so wrapped up, and we have been so catechized by the world, by this sinful theology of separation, that we think God will abandon us and that we too will become separated from Him. Who? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He gives us a great laundry list. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? We can add to that list, can't we? Who shall separate us from the love of God. These don't sound like who's, do they? They sound like what's. But behind every one of these things is Satan and all of his minions. Who shall separate you from the love of Christ Jesus? Poverty? Loneliness? Unemployment? Cancer? Heartache? Depression? After all, remember, this is New Year's Eve. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not... My friends, God's word for you today is the word, the very first word of verse 37. No. Stop it. No. There is absolutely nothing that can separate you from God's love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure, I am certain, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us, will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. My friends, I don't know what things from the past you bring into God's house tonight. I don't know what worries or fears for the future you bring into God's house tonight. But I can tell you this, you, as you are in Christ Jesus, you are more than conquerors. Through all of these things, Christ Jesus has overcome sin, death, and the grave for you. Christ Jesus promises, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Christ Jesus promises, I am with you always. Just like I have been in the past, just like I am now, and just like I promise to be each and every day of your future. My friends, New Year's Eve for the Christian is truly a day to celebrate. Why? Because Jesus Christ, His love, His forgiveness is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Rejoice and celebrate in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our things past, our things future, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess Him. We do so as we sing the offertory, create in me a new heart, a clean heart, a pure heart. Please stand as we sing. Again, welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship with us tonight. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that God would bless all of those things in your past and be with you and bless you throughout all the days of your future as well. This time we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Continues with the prayers of the church. Please stand as you're able. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the peace from above, for the salvation of our souls, and for the redemption of the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nation and those who lead us, for us to be good and responsible citizens, for those who judge guilt and innocent within the court system, and for those who protect us and enforce our laws, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christ's holy church here and throughout the world, for this congregation, and for those who serve us with his word and sacraments, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of time and for a clear conscience through forgiveness, that we may let go of the past and embrace the future, confident of God's presence and grace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer afflictions of body and mind, for the dying in their last days, and for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For courage under trial, for steadfastness before temptation, and for grace when persecuted for the sake of the faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For favorable weather, for the fruitfulness of the earth, for our deliverance from man-made and natural disasters, from pestilence and famine, and from trusting in earthly riches instead of his grace and favor, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the protection of the holy angels and for the Lord to frustrate the plans of the enemy and defend us against all evil. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our faithful reception of the Holy Sacrament of Christ's body and blood, and for our unity and harmony as the people of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our remembrance of the saints and our faithfulness, delivering to those to come the sacred deposit of pure doctrine and orthodox practice, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Service of the Sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right
so to do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you.
this do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
14.
The very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Please stand.
Lord, have
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 363, Silent Night. really different to sing that hymn in a different context, isn't it? And I can't think of a better way to close out our calendar church year here at Good Shepherd than with that hymn, that reminder, and that great promise. Jesus Christ, Son of God, pure light, Savior, for you, today, tomorrow, and forever. If you didn't get a chance to get the Good Shepherd news and notes from this last Sunday, they're on the back shelf there, all the activities and events in the days and weeks coming. Tomorrow, Wednesday, New Year's Day, offices closed, no activities here at the church, and one of the few times in the last 20 years or so that we're not going to have church on Wednesday night. Tonight is our evening service for this week. Sunday, regular service, we'll be celebrating the Epiphany of our Lord. We'll celebrate it a day early, but we normally transfer it to the closest Sunday. And then next Wednesday, we'll be back on our regular schedule with choir, midweek, and confirmation at 5:30, worship at 6:30, and just as a reminder for the Catechism 1 and Catechism 2 students in my class, confirmation essay is due 1 week from tomorrow when you come back from class. Pastor, anything? We are having a Lifelight Bible study on Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Continue our look at the book of James. I know we have the table set up for the great soup cook-off thing. It's always a fun activity. People can enter in their soup, and we can all come and eat and drink and have some great Christian fellowship, so check that out. And keep, whether you're making soup or not, keep that date open. That's Sunday, January 19, after the 10:30 service. Vicar, anything else? All right, I've had about enough of you for this year. All right. We'll start over tomorrow. All right. Have a great day and week and new year in the Lord Jesus Christ.